Would you turn with me to Mark chapter 6, the Gospel of Mark, the 6th chapter. And as you find that, we're going to be talking about the sending out of the 12 disciples. Now, why is that important for us? Because we too are the Lord's disciples. Amen. Are you a disciple of Christ? If you're not, you're in trouble, my friend. If you're saved and you're not a disciple, you're not growing. And if you're not a disciple and not saved, dear friend, we pray that this day the Lord's Holy Spirit would take hold of your heart and bring you to Him. In Mark chapter 6, we have marching orders for the disciples, for the 12. The Bible says, by the way, that we are the army of God. Did anybody go to Sunbeams when you were a kid? We're going to tell our age here, aren't we? Anybody else? Do we have any Sunbeams here? Come on now. There we go. We got some Sunbeams. We would sing a song in Sunbeams about being soldiers for the Lord and marching for the Lord. And it was, you know, I always liked the military march songs. It just kind of stirred my blood. But I love the Soldiers of Christ songs. But the Bible tells us that we are soldiers, that God is our sovereign leader, and that we're to be His soldiers. And He calls us to a serious job, folks. We're to be a serious people with a serious job. And it goes on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every week of the year. Well, when Jesus called His disciples, after he selected them, he pulled them together and He visited with them, He talked to them, He trained them for a while, and then He sent them out on a very serious mission, and He gave them some very specific instructions. This can be overlooked, so in just a moment when we read, I want you to notice some things that He said, some things that we need to take note of. To carry out their mission, Jesus told them these things. First of all, He said, I want you to be single-minded about your mission. I want you to travel light. Don't carry a bunch of junk. Don't get distracted with your baggage, in other words. Secondly, He said, don't waste time on people that reject the message. Hello? Well, we have a hard time with that one sometimes, don't we? Because we want people to hear. But we can't make them hear. All we can do is share. Third, He said, help the people that are hurting. Fourth, He said, preach one central message. So as you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word, I want you to see if you can spot these different things that Christ shared with them as we read. Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7, it says that Jesus called the 12 to Himself, and He began to send them out two by two and gave them power over unclean spirits. He commanded them to take nothing for the journey except a staff. What's that? Show them a staff, cub. There's a staff. Just a staff. And that can be used for a lot of things, I guess. So, He said, take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bag. Listen to this. No bag. No suitcase. No bread. No copper. In other words, what? No money. How many of you leave the house with no money? Yeah, credit card counts. Of course we do. He said, no copper in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. In other words, take one outfit of clothes. He said to them, in whatever place you enter a house, stay there until you depart from that place. And whoever will not receive you nor hear you, when you depart from there, shake off the dust from under your feet as a testimony against them. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So they went out and they preached that people should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. The reading of God's Word for the encouragement of our hearts. Amen. Pray with me over the Word. Father, we pray Your help to understand and to remember. You give us instruction, Lord. So many times we hit the road without remembering your instruction. As your soldiers, Lord, help us to heed what you've told us, practice what we preach, and to receive your power so that we can be influential to the folks you sent us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? If you were just casually reading this passage, you might get the impression that these instructions are just for these 12 men and just for this particular mission, but it's just not true. This story, if you will, this account of what Jesus did here shows up in three different gospels. How many gospels? Three out of the four gospels have this account. Matthew chapter 10, Luke chapter 9, and of course, right here in Mark chapter 6. And the instructions are meticulously written down for you and for me. Folks, I want you to remember this. God doesn't waste ink on things that are not important. I know God didn't put the ink down, but he put it on the hearts of people and had them put the ink down. And God doesn't waste his time on something if it's not urgent. And three times in the Word of God, these men were trained by Jesus to be his first witnesses. They were trained in the skills that they needed to witness to people, to bring people to Jesus Christ. And the message they preached is the same message that we preach. Jesus, God's Son. Jesus, salvation. Turn to the Lord. So we need to pay very close attention to these instructions because this was their marching orders. And you get your marching orders from the same book, from the words, from the mouth of Christ Jesus. Their orders are our orders. So let's look at what Jesus told them to do. First and foremost, Jesus wanted them to focus on the mission, not their stuff. Are you with me? Not their stuff. Boy, we have the opposite problem, don't we? We focus more on our stuff and we forget the mission. The first thing that Jesus tells them to do is pack light. That's in your outline. Pack light. He didn't want them getting distracted by the things of the world. He didn't want them to be carrying a lot of bags with them everywhere they went. He told them to take one thing, not just the clothes they were wearing, but what? A staff. He said, you're going to be doing a lot of moving. You're going to be doing a lot of going. Take your staff. He said, take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Folks, he just didn't want them carrying a lot. He said, travel light, be ready to go. Now, later on, if you look in a different account, in Luke chapter 22, verse 35, he reminds them about this. He said, now, when I sent you out, I sent you without a purse. I sent you without a bag. I sent you without extra sandals. He said, did you lack for anything when I sent you out? And what did they say? No, we lacked for nothing, Lord. Now, why did Jesus remind them of this? Because he wanted to remind them that they needed to know that if they did what Jesus asked, if they were obedient to the call, that Jesus would supply their every need. And it's the same for you today, is it not? Is God the same today as he was yesterday? Of course he is. Then, folks, if you are obedient to the call of Christ, God will supply your every need. He said, travel light, obey me, and God will supply. That's what he said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. It's a part of the Sermon on the Mount. You may recall that Jesus said, he said, let me just read it to you. He said, don't worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink and what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. In other words, God knows you need food. God knows you need shelter. God knows you need health. God knows you need something to wear. He said, but first, what did he say to do? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. All the stuff that you need will be added unto you. So many times, is it not true that we worry more about the things than we do about the call? So the first instruction that he gave the disciples was what? Pack light. I will supply your needs. Now the second thing he said, don't waste your time for those who won't listen to you. Unfortunately, many people today don't want to hear the message about Jesus. They don't want to hear it. Several times, even this week, I shared just a message, brief messages of people that I came across about the Lord Jesus. And did you know most of them received it and were gracious? Well, one just couldn't stand it. Every time I said something, it was back in my face with something else. You know, don't need this. Nope, that's not right. I got a different thing. I've got a different way. You know, what is it saying then? In verse 11, Jesus told his disciples, he says, if any place will not welcome or listen to you, leave them. Don't waste your time there. Shake the dust off of your feet as a testimony against them. That was verse 11. So what was Jesus saying? Was Jesus saying that people just aren't worth your effort? No, that's not what he's saying. As a matter of fact, he said, you share the word in your city, outside your city, and to the uttermost part of the world. He said, people are worth you sharing it. But if they reject the word of God, he's saying, don't waste your time. In other words, don't argue or push people. He said, they're either going to be receptive to the word or they're not. Don't argue with folks. If they don't want to hear, move on. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 23 through 26, in a nutshell, it says, don't argue with people. Be kind to everybody and instruct them gently. Because after all, if somebody is going to change their mind, isn't it easier for them to swallow a loving word than a harsh one? Have you ever been wrong? Don't look at your wife, men. They're already going, yeah. We've all been wrong. But isn't it easier to swallow the correction or the truth if it's given gently? That's why God's word says, be ready to give a defense for the hope that's within you, and yet do it with gentleness and reverence. God's word says that we need to give it gently. Don't argue. Now, I know we got some fishermen in here. How many of you like to fish? Just hand raise testimony. Now put them up, because somebody might be inviting you to go fishing with them. Come on. Oh, a few more hands went up now. There we go. A lot of us like to fish. I mean, I'm looking at some of y'all that I know that have sent me pictures. And some of you are better fishermen than others. But let's talk about fishing for just a second. Let me just ask you. If you were out fishing, you were out in a boat, and you stopped over one of your favorite spots, and you fished and you fished and you fished, and you didn't even get a nibble, not even one nibble, how much longer would you stay there? Would you stay there all the rest of the day hoping that all of a sudden something's going to show up? I don't think so. You're going to stay all day at a place where you're getting no nibbles? I don't think so. You say, I'm going to move. Because you see, you just can't argue fish onto your line. I sat there with a guy one time. He said, I know there's fish here. I'm going, could you help me find one? We argued that there's fish down there. There's fish. You know, they still didn't bite. You can fish all day, but you cannot argue a fish onto your line. You can talk forever, and those fish are not going to bite. But there's a pretty good possibility that there are hungry fish somewhere else. So what do? We go to the next spot. Throw our line out. You just got to figure, if you're a real fisherman, that there's some hungry fish out there somewhere who want the bait you've got. All you've got to do is what? Just keep fishing. Just keep working on it. You know, Jesus called you. Hello? Jesus called you. Jesus called me to be fishers of men. Do you get it? You keep putting the information out there. You keep sharing the truth with the hopes and the prayers that someone's going to take it. But folks, every now and then you've got to understand that when you are a fisher of men, people are going to act like fish and they'll get closed-mouthed. They'll reject what you've got to say. They won't take it. You can expect people to act that way. So you just have to move on sometimes to the next spot. Now, that doesn't mean that you might not come back again, amen, to fish the same spot. People need the Word of God. So first of all, don't let the extra baggage of the world slow you down. Secondly, don't waste your time on folks who will not respond. And third, are you ready? Take care of people. Take care of people. Love people. Serve people. God's Word tells us that we are supposed to love and serve and help our folks. Jesus said that He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give Himself as a ransom for many. Jesus didn't just send the disciples out to preach. He also sent them out to help. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 8, we have one of those synoptic verses. In other words, it's the same as the one that we read from Mark chapter 6. So that same account told in a little bit different words. It's found in Luke chapter 9, Mark chapter 6, also Matthew chapter 10. Well, the version in chapter 10 adds a few more verses there. It says that Jesus said, "Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons." Do you recall who he's given this message to? Who was it? The disciples. Everybody agree? I didn't get very many people. Everybody agree it was the disciples? Who are the disciples today? Wait a minute. You see what Jesus said to do? Wait a minute. Let me just read that again. If we're the disciples and we said that this is for us today, look what it said to do. Oh, wow. Here we go. Are you ready? Heal the sick. Anybody healed anybody lately? Raise the dead. There's one for you. Cleanse those with leprosy. How many of you have never known a leper? Drive out demons. How many of you have these abilities? You would if God wanted you to have them. You better believe that. That if you needed these abilities, He would give them to you. But you know what you do have? You have the abilities that are needed to meet the needs of people today. He gives you the strength. He gives you the wisdom. He gives you the power of prayer to help people and serve people and love people and counsel people and care for them. And you have exactly what you need to meet the needs of the people that you're going out to. He gave it to His disciples then. He gives it to us today. I've never healed a leper. I've never raised anybody from the dead. I've revived a couple with... But I didn't raise them from the dead. Let me ask you. If God wanted you to do these things, don't you believe with all your heart that God would give you the ability to do these things? If He wanted you to do that. But He does give you what you need. Jesus gave explicit instructions here. He said, go help people who are hurting. Get out there and help people. Now, why would Jesus say, go help people? If time is so short and people's lives are so fragile and we never know how long they're going to last, shouldn't they have just concentrated on preaching and giving people the truth? Let me tell you the truth. Let me tell you the truth. People need the truth, right? But Jesus said, get out there and help folks. Love on people. Why? Why would they need to do that if they just need to share the truth? Let me tell you why. When you minister to people, they will hear your message. They're not going to hear your message most of the time if you don't care enough to minister to them. Disciples of Christ do both. We carry a message and we carry ministry to people. Because ministry opens the door for people to hear the message. And we don't just care. I know people say, well, I'm just going to love on people. Well, listen, you better love on people enough not just to minister to them, but to also tell them the truth. You better share the love of God with them, because if we simply healed them and ministered to them and sent them home, they're just going to go to hell a little better. You see, God's doctrine is a good thing. Good doctrine is a great thing, but it's not everything. Listen to what we're saying. I'm not saying that you don't need to have good, sound doctrine. You better. But that's not all you need to have. You need to have more than just that. It's important for a church. It's important for a people to teach good doctrine. The Pharisees had good doctrine. They had the Word of God. But I'm going to tell you, they didn't care about the people. Their religion was about helping themselves. That's why Jesus got so angry with them at times. That's why Jesus called them out on it, said, you brood of vipers, you're like rotting flesh in a tomb. There's a compliment. And they had the doctrine, but they didn't have the love of people. Do you see that what you need to add? Have good doctrine. Have the Word of God. Hold it in your heart. And then love people enough where they want to say, what is it you've got? I need some of that. We're sent out with more than just a message. We're sent out with the love and the care to back it up. After all, there's an old saying, and you know it. Finish it for me. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So, with that, we move to the last thing that Jesus gave them to do. Jesus told them, preach a simple message. In verse 12, it says that they were sent out with a message, and Jesus gave them their message, and Jesus gives us our message. And that message was repent. That's it? Just repent? Pastor, you preach a whole lot more than just repent. I do, but you're disciples, right? You are the disciples of Christ. You need more than just the message of repent, because once you get past the point of receiving Jesus Christ, you need to grow. But their message going out to a lost world was not you need to grow, because what good does it do to grow if you're dead? He said you need to come to life first, and then you need to grow. We need to preach the message of repentance to the world. And too often, the church has gotten into the habit of telling folks, you know, y'all are pretty nice people. Y'all are really good folks. You just need to come and join us. You know, y'all aren't all that bad. Y'all are like us. Come on in. That's not the message we need to be giving people. The message we need to give people is, you are lost and you're dying and you're going to hell unless you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's the message we need to give them. Why don't people talk about repentance? I think because they're afraid they're going to make people mad. Tell them that they need something. I've got news for you, folks. If you don't want to repent, you can't come to Jesus. And Jesus wants everybody to come to him. But if you're not willing to admit that you're a sinner and that you can't save yourself and that you need God's Son who died for you on a cross, unless you're willing to admit that and ask him to forgive you and come into your life, you can't be saved, or you won't be saved until you do. If you think that you can get into heaven by being a good person, if you think that you can get into heaven by doing all the good that you can, oh, my friend, you've got a rude awakening coming. I hope that you wake before then. The Bible's clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, does that mean that everybody has sinned? What about the person sitting in your chair? What about the person on the stage? Yep. So our message is one simple one. Repent. And come to Jesus. It's not pretty. It's not appealing. But we need to understand that repent is the only message that will rescue people from hell. It's the only message. Repent. Come back to God. You know, I was reminded about a group of people that whenever all these surveys are filled out, about a group that's the fastest growing religious group in all of the world. And they're called the nuns. No, not N-U-N-N, not the nuns who were the nuns, N-O-N-E, nun. One in five people in the United States, listen to me, and 3 in 10 college students identify as nuns. In other words, they'll have none of church, none of Jesus, none of biblical morality. The nuns say that homosexuality is okay, that living together is okay, that living for yourself is okay, and they're having none of God's rules, none of God's authority in their life. It is the fastest growing religious group, or non-religious group, or maybe they are religiously non-religious. It's the largest growing group and fastest growing group in the world. It sounds like a losing battle, doesn't it? It sounds like we'll never catch up. So shall we just quit? Shall we just stop and give up on all the nuns? Shall we quit? Let me give you a history quiz. Hang with me. I've got plenty of time. So just sit tight. Don't look at your watch. There's lots of time left, okay? Can we do a history lesson real quick? What happened in America in 1620? Anybody remember? Anybody? Pilgrims came to America and they founded a civilization based on and dedicated to loving, serving, and worshiping God. That's why they came, for religious freedom. And they had one of the richest worshipful atmospheres in those first years in America in 1620 and following in the decades that has ever been in America. They prayed and they worshiped all the time. They did their best to serve God as servants of the Lord. You would have just been so proud of them had you known them as neighbors. But 100 years later, it was a different story. America went from a land filled with people who wanted to worship God to a land filled with the immoral and impure. These exact same people's offspring and people who came grew into a wantonness that was nasty. Let me tell you, they became a nation filled with nuns. They lived drunk. They lived like they wanted. Did you know that in those years, about 100 years after the founding of America, more people were living together than were married? Hello? Does that sound familiar today? America had become a nation of nuns. Now, that was in 1620 that it began with the godly people, and now up to the 1720s, we've got a land that is filled with immorals. Well, something happened in the 1730s and 1740s that changed the whole atmosphere of this country. You know what it was called? It was called the Great Awakening. The Word of God started being preached, and the nation began to come awake because they were awakened out of their immorality and out of their selfishness, and preachers went about preaching one central message that turned this nation on its ear, if you will. And do you know what that message was? One word, what was it? Repent. Repent. Turn your life back to God or you're going to go to hell, people. We love you too much not to tell you. The message was so powerful that people literally wept in church. They confessed their sin. They gave their life to the Lord. They began living for God. They were filled with sorrow over their sin. And they turned, literally, these people preaching and teaching the words of repentance, coming back to God, turned their world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that was in the 1730s and 1740s. Now you think, oh, what's that got to do with us? Listen, we've got something good coming. You ready? How about another question? What happened just a few years after that in 1776? Hello? American Revolution. The American Revolution. And our founders, listen, the American 1776. So the people running these things in 1776 had just gone through the 1730s and the 1740s and the 1750s, and now they're in the 1760s. 1770. We're talking about people that were anywhere from 30 to 40 to 50 to 60 years old now. And these people who became the founders of our America, who created a nation dedicated to freedom, by the way. Hello? Freedom to worship. People, founders, who wrote the powerful Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of our United States. These people, these men, these women, shaped by the preaching of the Great Awakening, wrote these founding documents. Shaped by what? The Great Awakening. Repent, turn to God, come back. They unashamedly preached the message of Christ. And these are the same men who wrote, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Thank you, God. If it hadn't been for these preachers, if it hadn't been for these men, these teachers who were preaching the message of repentance, America would never have become the powerful nation that it is today. Never. They would have been an immoral nation that had been wiped out and taken over by somebody else. And that's why I shall not, cannot, will not give up on the nuns today. They were turned around in that day, and you saw the revival that came from that. Dear friends, it can happen today. We just need to get one simple message out to the people, and that is, once again, a very simple sermon, a very simple message. You need to repent. Quit accepting the immorality. Quit accepting the selfishness, and turn back to the Lord God. Folks, as long as there are churches who are doing what we're doing, as long as there are people who will make no apology for standing for God's morality and will not put up with a morality that is of the devil shoved down our throats until we say, "Fine, fine, just do what you want, leave me alone." That doesn't work either. Because they come back and they not only shove it down your throats, they're going to shove it into your front door, and they're either going to arrest you for not complying, or they're going to make you so miserable that you comply. You tell me it's not happening. Somebody. Why are people getting arrested for being moral? For speaking out against immorality? It's happening. That's why, as long as there's a church who will stand against immorality, and maybe I should say more than that, not just stand against immorality, but stand for morality. Stand for the love of God. Stand for repentance and returning to Jesus. As long as there are pastors, as long as there are teachers who will preach about sin and shame and the need to come to Jesus for forgiveness, the need to come to Jesus for hope, then people will hear. There will be people who hear, and people will turn to God, and souls will be saved. They will. But remember, This battle is only going to be won by the soldiers who are obedient to God's marching orders. Will you be obedient to the marching orders? Soldiers who will focus on their mission and not their stuff. Amen? Hello? Oh, I know this is not a fun message, but it's true. We focus so much on our stuff that we don't have time to preach the message of repentance. Let's get back to it. Let's don't just focus on our stuff. Let's focus on the mission. We need soldiers who will not be discouraged by scoffers. Amen? We need soldiers who will not be discouraged by jail. We need scoffers who will not be discouraged by the loss of their jobs. We need soldiers who will not be discouraged by people who are putting us down and calling us all kinds of names because we stand for Christ. We need soldiers who will take care of people and love people, no matter who they are or what their lifestyle is. We need to love them, share the message of love from Christ Jesus. Soldiers who will preach a simple message and a loving message to repent and come home. Come to God because He loves you. You found you can't be happy in that lifestyle. Listen, you just find some people that say, oh, I'm having a lot of fun. Yes, but do you have any peace? What if you were to die today? Would it be fun? Oh, well, I just like my lifestyle. I'm going to do what I want to do. Yes, but when you die, will you do what you want to do? No. Folks, we need to preach repentance to come home to Jesus. This is a battle plan worth adopting. This is a battle plan worth adopting because it's God's battle plan. It's not mine. It's God's word. It is God's battle plan. Pray with me. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Can I pray for you? Oh, Father, I pray for these. Just as you prayed for your disciples, I pray for our disciples here today, Lord, as we stand before you, sit before you, worship before you. God, would you draw our hearts together in you? God, would you strengthen us that we might serve you, not distracted by the stuff. And God, that we would share lovingly a message of repentance to come home to Christ Jesus because he gave his life for them, that they might live. God, we live in a world of nuns. Help us, Father, to share with them who have none so that they might have everything in Christ Jesus.